there's a tendency that we have to project the image of our earthly father onto God and to make assumptions about God and the quality of his character on the basis of our experience with our earthly fathers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making History. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. And we are excited for this episode.
We are. It's such a good topic.
It's a great topic.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about it.
I am too. Yeah. Before we get into that, let's talk about our week a little bit.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy happened.
No, we did take, I just remembered, we took all the kids to the doctor.
We did.
That was this week, which is actually pretty wild for us.
Don't judge us for what we're about to say. Some of you may judge
us. Some of you will.
Some of you will be afraid. Some of you will applaud.
Right.
But this is just who we are. So we brought our kids to the doctor. And Izzy is 4 years old. Mm-hmm. It was her first time in a doctor's office.
Ever.
Nora is 7. It's the first time she's been to a doctor since she was 1.
1, yep.
And Ollie...
We took him once.
Yeah.
Because his head was so big.
Mm-hmm. We're scared because his head was so big.
We just wanted to make sure everything was good. Yeah.
Well, it was also like his soft spot.
It was...
Was it massive? Is that
pretty
it?
Pretty large. Yeah. And it was a little bit far forward.
Far forward.
That so was that was the thing. But yeah. He's fine. He's just got my family genes of having a gigantic head.
Big old head. And now his head is like in the 80th percentile.
Yeah,
so.
It's like totally normal.
Yep. He's good to go.
Yep. Or even 60th, I think.
Was that it?
Or maybe it was 80th. I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever it was, it's fine.
Still a little bit bigger than normal.
Yeah.
It's all right. You just have to wear big hats.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
So doctor's appointments were good. Mm-hmm. Just trying to get all these coughs to go away.
Seriously.
Ugh. Yep. And I had a good day yesterday. I got a haircut. That's always a good day.
Yes.
And last night I did something I haven't done in a long time.
Tell us about it.
And it's something, it's a shame because it's something I love doing.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time finding people who want to do this often.
Yeah. It's not like your typical like Friday night activity.
So this week is my brother's birthday and he thought it would be fun to get like his brothers together with a couple friends and go bowling.
Yeah.
And so last night we went bowling. And it was a blast.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And that's like, I feel like Thursday night, it's just so random. But tell us why.
Okay.
This was so awesome.
And this is amazing. And this is something that we have to take advantage of.
Yeah.
There's a nice, like newer bowling alley near us. Mm-hmm. And on Thursday nights from 9 to 11 for $10, it's unlimited bowling and unlimited pizza.
Whoa.
For 10 bucks.
That's crazy, though.
It's the best 10 bucks I've spent in a long time.
Because I feel like normally bowling just for like one game is more than $10.
Yeah.
With shoe rental and lane rental. It's more than that. So getting to do however many games you can squeeze in and then however many slices of pizza you can squeeze in.
Yeah. So we bowled. There were 6 of us. We bowled 2 games.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of pizza and we had a great time.
It's so fun.
Yep.
It's a good way to celebrate a birthday.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like, I feel like when you're in your 30s too, birthdays can just become real boring.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, I feel like most people, not everybody, but most people, you get to your 30s and you're kind of like, oh, another birthday.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Let's go out to eat or something, which is fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I love doing that too, but it's fun to do something a little extra.
Yeah. But we got there and I was like, I'm not used to being somewhere at 9 o'clock, like starting.
Normally we're like getting in bed or getting ready to watch a show.
Hopefully we're watching a show. Yeah. We're doing something.
Yep.
But yeah, going out and like starting something at 9. It's like, whoa.
Party animal. Yeah. Whoa, watch out.
Yeah.
But it was fun. Is really fun. I had a good day yesterday too.
Yeah.
Started gardening. Mm-hmm. I have hit my yearly desire to rip up everything in the yard and plant all new things. Yeah. I don't know if anybody else is like this, but it's literally every year for me. I'm like, nope, get rid of it all. Like, yeah. Redo everything. Let's buy all new bushes, which is too expensive because
yeah,
I don't know why bushes are so stinking expensive. Mm-hmm. But like last year, we were given a gift card, or was it 2 years ago? It might have been 2 years ago.
2 years ago, I think.
For like $100 to go to Lowe's and yeah. get new bushes. And we were like, oh, great. That'll like fill the whole thing. We literally got four things, yeah. four bushes, and it was over $100. We're like, what? Why? But
yeah,
I am excited. I love gardening. Mm-hmm. I think it's really fun and yeah. rewarding. And the girls like to do it with me too.
Yeah, so that's fun.
That's really a sweet time when mm-hmm. they want to get involved and get their hands dirty. And
yep. Okay. Ooh. So yeah, we've had a pretty good week mm-hmm. overall.
Yep.
All right. So here's our topic. If you listened to last week's episode, this is kind of part two of that. And we mentioned last week, or kind of, I guess, overall what we talked about. We talked about how our view of God influences how we parent. Mm-hmm. In that, like, you and I are fully aware that we are meant to be his representatives.
Yeah.
And that's true just of people. Like, God sure. created people to be his representative to creation, mm-hmm. but also as creation to be a representative of creation to him. It's yeah. this interesting thing, but
yeah.
he made us special and mm-hmm. different. And so on one hand, like, of course, we're meant to be his representatives just on earth. That's yeah. how, that's what his plan is for the kingdom, you know, to come mm-hmm. is to be through us. But we also are fully aware that, like, within our family, that we are going to be kind of the first picture that our kids get of who the Father is, yeah. what he's like.
Right.
In that there is a tendency that we have, and this is what we're getting into today, there's a tendency that we have to project the image of our earthly Father onto God and to make assumptions about God and the quality of his character on the basis of our experience with our earthly fathers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that can be problematic, because earthly fathers aren't perfect.
Right, yeah.
Like, as you know, good of a job as I plan on doing, I'm not going to be everything that the girls and Ollie always need me to be.
Sure.
I'm going to yeah. fail at sometimes. I'm going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to cause them, to some degree, certain amounts of, like, pain or misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And there's the potential for them to project me and my shortcomings onto the Father. Mm-hmm. So we want, for you and I, we want to see the Father as clearly as possible so yeah. that we know who we're representing to our girls.
Right.
And Ollie. I'm so used to just saying our girls.
I know.
I keep saying the girls. And the girls. I'm like, oh, but we have Ollie too.
And also a son.
The kids.
He's been here for 8 months. We got to get it through our head.
Yes. There's three of them.
Yep. Oh, it is really hard to get used to that though.
Yeah. So the kids. We are representing to the kids. Anyways, all that to say, we want to understand what the Father's like for our sake, so we know who we're representing to the kids.
Right.
But we also want to know who he is so that we can direct the kids to him.
Yeah, that's
so
really
that
good.
Even when we are not perfect and when we're not who they need us to be, mm-hmm. they have someone to go to.
Right.
To fill in all the gaps.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And somebody that is trustworthy.
Yes.
From their perspective, mm-hmm. somebody that they know is safe, somebody that will comfort them.
Yeah.
And what a victory it will be, you mm-hmm. know, to know that, like, what we've done points them there so that, like you said, when we mess up, their instinct is to go to him mm-hmm. rather than to run away.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, seclude? Is that the right word?
Themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there are six father types that we're going to talk about. And we mentioned this last week, but everybody in the world has experienced one or multiple of these mm-hmm. father types
yeah.
from their earthly father. And again, if we are projecting to any degree our image of our earthly father onto God, that's problematic if it's causing us to see him differently than as he is, because the way we see him will determine how we approach him.
Yeah.
So if dad was angry and scary, and mm-hmm. I think that God is angry and scary, that's not somebody I'm going to want to be super close to.
Right. Yeah. Vulnerability is going to be totally shut off.
Yes. Yeah. But the way, or one of the ways, one of the very key important steps in the process of refining how we think about God is actually forgiving our earthly fathers for all the ways that they were not who we needed them to be.
Yes. Yeah.
And yeah, that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And forgiveness, I feel like that can be a really scary word to people, but that forgiveness is not saying that what happened was okay. Mm-hmm. It's not saying like, oh, you know what? This, they were in the right, you know, it's not giving permission for that to happen again either. Mm-hmm. Not saying it's right, not giving permission for it to happen again, but it's allowing yourself to step into the freedom that forgiveness brings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forgiveness isn't even always for the person that you're forgiving. It's
right.
For yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it, you know, there's that old saying, super cliche, but you know, when you forgive somebody, you realize that you were the prisoner,
right,
who is being set free.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into this.
All right.
The first father type that we're going to talk about is the absent father.
Mm-hmm.
And people could have experienced an absent father because their father, or it could have been from divorce, could be from death, could be because dad worked too much and was just never home, never around. There's different reasons. But a lot of people experience having an absent father.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have an absent father, we have a tendency to project onto God the idea that relationship with him is risky.
Yeah.
And there's like a fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And you can identify with this one.
Yeah.
Why don't you share a little bit of your story?
Yeah. So my dad died when I was 8 years old. And from that point on, I had no idea that I even took on this point of view. But my idea of an earthly father was that he's not here. Mm-hmm. And obviously that was not his choice.
Right.
And so there was no like, you know, I think part of me was actually like mad at him for dying, you know, because he was like, hey, you left me, even though you did not choose this. Like, I am here without you now. And so the little, the hurt in my heart translated that to you're absent. And so because of that earthly experience, when I approached Father God, because my only idea of a father was that he was not there.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, but if I get close to you, are you going to leave me too?
Mm-hmm.
Are you also going to leave this hole in my heart that I feel right now from my earthly father? And so it felt like a huge risk to even like have the idea of having a relationship with the father.
Yeah.
And it was really scary to be vulnerable. It was scary to just share anything because it felt to me like, okay, as soon, because I will say this too, I was like a big time mama's girl growing up for most of my life. And then closer to the time that my dad died, I had gotten closer to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, almost like starting a relationship because I was so young. So it was like almost the beginning of like a really true close relationship with my dad. And then like a year later is when he died.
Mm-hmm.
And so it felt like as soon as I was getting close to him, then he left.
Yeah.
And so that was my only idea of what would probably happen with Father God too. And so I was like, well, because of that, I'm actually probably just not even going to try.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, yeah, I have a relationship with God, but it was like, you can stay over there. I'm not going to actually share my heart fully with you because I don't want to get it broken again.
And these kind of like reactions that we have from our childhood experience, they aren't like as adults, they're not always like logical.
Yeah.
But you can't treat them based on how you perceive them now as an adult. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to go back and treat it to how it felt and what it did in the moment as a child.
Yeah.
Because that was the pain you felt.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you can logic and reason your way out of thinking like, oh, how dumb to assume that God, you know, would be like that.
Right.
But as a kid, that was what was planted in your heart and in your mind.
Yeah.
And these reactions aren't like conscious.
No.
You know.
No, it wasn't
necessarily.
It wasn't intentional for me to be like, you know, I don't think I in my 8-year-old mind was having all those complex thoughts.
Yeah.
That was just what I received, like in my experience. That was what felt true to me.
Mm-hmm.
in that moment. And so I was like, okay, well, it must be true that God's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for anybody listening, if you can identify with this in any way of having an absent father, and if you identify the reality that you may be projecting some of those things onto God mm-hmm. as a father, then our encouragement would be, and this is, we're going to say this for every father type that we talk about, but our encouragement is to just start praying through what it would look like to forgive your dad for not being as present as you needed him to be, for not being blank, fill in the blank, whatever it is that you needed from him that you didn't get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Forgiving him is crucial in this process.
And I will say too, like, even like I had guilt whenever I like realized that I had this belief about my dad. Like, I had a lot of shame of like being mad at him for dying. So I was like, how ridiculous. Like, of course he did not choose this, you know, like, of course it's not his fault. Ooh, here we go. But working through that shame and that grief led me to so much more freedom of allowing myself to say like, hey, like the Lord, I had invited him into that process, you know, thankfully was able to give him a little bit of space to heal that part of my heart. And, he, you know, just comforted me through and was like, hey, like, it's okay to be upset that he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to be mad that he left, you know, and whether it's his choice or not. And so like, if that is you, if you are, you know, like have a similar situation or a similar story to mine, like, yes, you may have that shame, but that also is going to leave in the process of forgiving your dad for going, for dying, for leaving by choice, you know, whatever it is, like, it's okay to be mad for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was almost harder for me to accept that I had unforgiveness towards my dad than to forgive him. You know, it was harder for me to accept like I had that feeling.
Yeah.
But just another encouragement for you, if you're going through that right now, like, it's okay to feel that way. And that will also be released when you walk through forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready for number two?
Ready.
The second father type is the passive father.
Mm.
So the passive father is around more than the absent father. But the passive father is like not really home, even when he is home.
Yeah. A little bit apathetic.
Yeah, apathetic. The passive father type is typically uncomfortable with emotion and affection. And, you know, typically is not like the disciplining type.
Sure.
And we mean that as like the good type of discipline.
Yeah.
Even. But the image that we can project from that experience onto God could look something like believing, again, even like a subconscious belief, but believing that God is real, but he's not like a close God.
Sure.
He's not really close. That, you know, I kind of know intellectually that God loves me, but I've always felt like it's just kind of from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
He's not super involved.
Yeah.
He's real and he's kind of around.
Right.
But he doesn't really, he's not super invested in me personally.
Mm-hmm.
That's often how we can kind of be left feeling.
Right. Like he's there, he's watching.
Mm-hmm.
He's around, like, but only if I like really need him.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll engage.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there are Bible verses that talk about just how close he is and even just how intentional he is. Like there's in Luke 12, it talks about how like he knows the hairs on our head, you know, he's counted them.
Right.
And in Psalm 139 talks about how like we were formed in our mother's womb and he's just so active and intentional in who we are and just in our lives. But it can be hard to believe that if we were not given that model from our earthly father.
Right.
So again, anybody listening, if you can identify with this and you can relate to having experienced a passive father type and you can relate to having projected some of those ideas and beliefs and images onto God, then our encouragement for you is to pray through what it might look like to forgive Dad for not being who you needed him to be when you were growing up.
Yeah.
You ready for number three?
Let's do it.
Okay. Number three is the performance-oriented father.
This can be a hard one.
Yeah. And I think this is probably a very common one too. Mm-hmm. But the performance-oriented father can or has the potential to leave kids feeling like his love is given or withheld in proportion to like our performance and mm-hmm. our obedience and how good we do.
Yeah.
And we could end up feeling like our value is tied to like our report cards mm-hmm. or like sports, like right, how well did I play? Mm-hmm. Did I score any goals? Did I, you know,
yep.
The performance oriented father, he may have very like high standards and
yeah.
high demands and high expectations mm-hmm. and will show great disapproval for not meeting those standards and those expectations.
Right. Yeah.
And if that's the case, we can project onto God the idea that he only really cares about us or loves us on the basis of our performance.
Yes. Yeah. Like when we have done our daily devotional mm-hmm. consistently every day, like then he's going to be happy to see us. If we have loved people well, if we've given a lot this week, you mm-hmm. know, if we've checked all the,
yeah.
the typical boxes of like what it is to be a good Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he'll be excited to see us and receive us with open arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you had a father like that, you may find that you have a tendency to do the things that you ought to do. Read the Bible, pray, go to church, go to Bible study, mm-hmm. all of the good spiritual Christian activity.
Yeah.
If you find that you are doing those things because you're trying to earn his approval, that you're yes. trying to earn his love and his affection, mm-hmm. that's very backwards. And we want to flip that.
Yeah.
Because those are things that we ought to be doing as a result of being loved. Mm-hmm. Because when we know how good he is and how much he loves us, that makes us want to engage with him.
Yeah.
When I know he's so kind and so patient with me, I want to get to know him.
Right. How many more ways can I get close to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to spend time in prayer. I want to spend time in the word. Yeah. I want to go to church. Not because I'm trying to earn anything from him, mm-hmm. but because I know that he's already given me everything that there is to give.
Yeah.
And as a response, I want to, you know, do the things that I ought to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that can very easily get flipped, mm-hmm. especially if you grew up in a home that was very performance oriented.
Yeah.
So if you are listening to this and you can identify with the performance oriented father and you can relate to having projected some of these beliefs and ideas and images onto God, and you feel like his love is something you need to earn through performance and through perfection, then our encouragement to you, once again, is to just pray through that. Pray through what it would look like to forgive your dad for not being everything you needed him to be mm-hmm. and for teaching you that your value is dependent on your performance.
Yeah.
You ready for number four?
Yep.
So number four is one that we've actually been talking about already. So if our listeners have been with us for a few episodes, they'll know what we mean by this.
Yeah.
But number four is the authoritarian father. Mm-hmm. And the authoritarian father is angry and demanding mm-hmm. and quick to punish,
yeah.
quick to anger, and can be controlling and uses intimidation. Mm-hmm. The authoritarian father's highest priority is obedience.
Yeah.
If you do exactly what I say when I say it, we'll be good. Mm-hmm. But if you don't do it,
step in a line and
then,
yeah.
Yep.
Then, here comes the hammer.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. That's really it too. The authoritarian father only has hammers in his tool belt. Mm-hmm. That's all he knows.
Yep.
How to use.
Yep. Just, I'm going to be as rough as possible mm-hmm. to get the results that I think are the best.
Yes.
Yep. There's very little like working together in mm-hmm. the authoritarian
sure.
father side. It's like my way. It's a typical like my way or the highway
yeah.
type thing where, like you said, as long as you do everything that I say, when I say it, how I say it, mm-hmm. I will love you. I will be kind to you.
Yeah.
But if not, you're going to see a totally different side of me that right. you don't want to see. mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like this father type is where all the like stereotypical parenting phrases come from. Like, because I said so.
Sure.
I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah.
My way or the highway. It's like yeah. that is where all of those things have been birthed
yeah.
out of.
Yeah. And so the authoritarian father, because he has a higher value for punishment than discipline, mm-hmm. he's not concerned about whether or not you are like learning anything,
right?
Being equipped, being developed, being mm-hmm. empowered. It's just do what I say.
Yeah.
I don't care if you understand.
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah. You know, just be a robot.
Yeah.
Be basically. My programmed mm-hmm. robot. Yeah.
Yeah. And we can project onto God the idea that he is also quick to anger, mm-hmm. that he's quick to punish.
Yeah.
That he is just angry and disappointed mm-hmm. and controlling.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer when we think about God like that mm-hmm. because it's so far from the truth of what he's like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, people talk about God's wrath a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that can form a view of an authoritarian God as mm-hmm. well, even if it's not partnered with an authoritarian father figure.
Sure.
Like on earth, I think that comes a lot. You know, people forget about what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And focus on Old Testament God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So here is a couple ways. If you're wondering like, oh, I wonder if I have some of these views of God.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of things to just ponder. If something goes wrong, something goes badly, it could be you get a flat tire. Mm-hmm. It could be that your washing machine breaks. Something goes wrong.
Yeah.
if the thought crosses your mind that God is punishing you because of X, Y, or Z, you're the one we're talking to.
Right? Yep.
And it's easy. And I've had those thoughts.
Yeah.
It used to be very normal for me. I get it. I get that it's such an easy place to get to.
Yeah.
But, and I'm going to say this, and I think this is something that not a lot of people maybe have thought about or understand, but we're not just saying that God won't punish you because he doesn't want to. The thing about God right now, as we are living in the new covenant, is that he can't punish you mm-hmm. because Jesus fully satisfied the yes. wrath of the Father.
Yeah.
It was fully satisfied. Every bit of the punishment for your sin was already taken care of on the cross.
Yeah.
So if the Father punished us, now that we are in Christ, mm-hmm. we're saved, we're made new, we're covered by the blood.
Yeah.
In Colossians, Paul wrote that our debt has been nailed to the cross, mm-hmm. completely satisfied.
Yeah.
If the Father were to punish us, then he wouldn't be just. Mm-hmm. Either he wouldn't be just or Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough.
Right.
Neither of those things are true.
Right. Are we wanting to claim either of those things?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
I do not think so.
Jesus' sacrifice was enough.
Yeah.
The Father is just. And because he's just, the punishment that was put on Christ on our behalf means that his righteousness can be attributed to us.
Yes.
So he actually can't punish us.
Right.
Which is hard, I think, for a lot of people to think about.
Right. Yeah. Because I think it's easy to take that view as like almost an excuse for bad things happening to us.
Sure.
And putting it on the Father.
Sure.
Instead of actually taking responsibility for things.
Yeah.
And like, of course, you know, if your washing machine breaks, it's not your fault. Mm-hmm. But there are things that happen. It's like, oh, God must be trying to teach me a lesson.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I asked for this because I didn't do this last week. And that's just such an easy cop out.
Yeah.
And that might be harsh to hear, but
yeah,
it's true. And I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. You know, it's easy. It feels nice to have somebody to put the blame on. Mm-hmm. But again, Jesus paid it all. Jesus
right.
did it all. He covered every sin, every wrongdoing, everything. Yep. And so the punishment is out of the question.
Yep. Now he still disciplines us.
Yes.
But I'm not going to explain that now. We have whole episodes on that.
Yes.
Go back and listen to those.
Right.
Because punishment and discipline are different.
Totally different.
He disciplines us.
Yes.
But he doesn't and can't punish us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually recently had a conversation with a friend who had a big breakthrough in this area. And he has a truck, a really nice truck. And one of the parts just went bad on it.
Yeah.
It's a Ford. And he was kind of wrestling with this, like, does God love me? Is he good?
Yeah.
How could he let this happen to me kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And then a few weeks ago, maybe months ago at this point, we had a conversation. He was like, and I came to the realization that Ford makes some crappy parts and that's it. It wasn't God punishing me.
Yeah.
It wasn't because God's angry or disappointed in me. Mm-hmm. Ford made a part that's not good.
Yeah.
It's poor quality.
Yep.
It's not made well. And so it broke. And that's, you know.
End of story.
End of story. You know, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, it's easy to get there. Mm-hmm. Especially if you've had a father who fits the mold of that authoritarian figure.
Right. Because that's just your experience over and over and over again.
Yeah.
That if I step out of line, I'm going to get in trouble.
Yep. Yep. So if you are listening to this and you can relate to that, you know what I'm about to say. But our encouragement to you is start praying through what it might look like to forgive your dad, if you haven't already, for being that authoritarian figure and for teaching you to believe that God is angry, that he is quick to punish, that he's disappointed in you, that he's just waiting for you to mess up. Mm-hmm. Because the sooner we can get a clear picture of who God is and believe the truth about who he is, the sooner we can start relating to him as he is. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to be close to God if I think he's scary.
Right.
If I think he's really mad at me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be close to him.
Right. You're going to do your best to avoid him.
Mm-hmm. But if you catch who he is, that he's just so like desperate to spend time with us.
Yeah.
And he wants to be close. He wants to love us. Then that's the one I want to be close to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, here comes number five.
All right.
This is a big one.
Yep.
The fifth father type is the abusive father. Mm. So that's like the authoritarian father taken to the extreme.
Yeah.
And this has been, of course, like this is a really hard one for people who had this experience. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to this, I don't want you to assume that forgiveness is easy. I don't want us to be like, I don't want you to think that we're presenting forgiveness like it's a super easy thing to do, because we know that it's not.
No.
It's not easy. It is necessary.
Yeah.
But it's not easy. So, and that's one of the reasons I'm encouraging our listeners right now to like pray through this and to bring the Father into this process.
Yeah.
Right?
There's no formula to forgiveness either. Every person's experience with it and process with forgiveness is going to look different depending on your like level of hurt, the type of hurt, whatever you've gone through. Like, give yourself time. The Father is going to be the best one to lead you through this like process of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And just one of the best things that I learned in walking through forgiveness in multiple different situations was not having expectations for how it was going to look.
Mm, sure.
And just be as fully surrendered as possible to what the Father wanted to take me through.
Yeah. And I had this thought too. We mentioned just now of bringing the Father through this, but if you have experienced the abusive father, the authoritarian father, you may not want the Father involved in this process. So if you're more comfortable asking Jesus, and I know we're not getting into any weird doctrine here. We believe in the Trinity. We believe that Jesus is God, that he and the Father are one. But we also know that if you have had, if you've had a really bad relationship with your earthly father, you may find that you relate to God more comfortably as Jesus or as the Holy Spirit.
Or the Holy Spirit,
So, if you're more comfortable praying to Jesus, then pray to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Again, we're not saying that he's different.
Yeah, we're not trying to dissect him.
He is God, but sometimes in our minds, there's a disconnect where I think Jesus is the nice one.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people have this idea of God, that God is three in one. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the nice one. The Holy Spirit's kind of the weird one that we don't get.
Right.
And the Father's the angry one.
Yeah.
And Jesus is the mediator between us and the angry Father, trying to hold the Father back.
Yeah.
When that's actually not the case at all.
Right.
But bring whichever member of the Trinity along in this process that you feel most comfortable with.
Yes.
But back to the topic, the abusive father is one who may have abused physically, emotionally, sexually, verbally.
Yeah.
And that's a really hard thing. Like, I don't want to talk about this super lightly, because if anybody listening to this has experienced the abusive father, that's a very, like, I want to approach this very tenderly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, recognize that we don't want to make light of this. We don't want to act like forgiving is a super easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. But we just want to maybe kind of prompt or nudge you in the direction of at least starting to pray about this. Mm-hmm. Invite Jesus in, invite the Holy Spirit in. To, if you're not ready to forgive now, our encouragement is ask the Holy Spirit to help preparing your heart to forgive.
Yeah.
So that you can get to the place of forgiving dad mm-hmm. for hurting you, for not being who you needed him to be, for not being a safe place for you, mm-hmm. for being someone you needed to hide from rather than run to.
Yeah.
Because that does affect, again, the way we think about God as a father.
Right.
And if that's our idea of who dad is, that's our idea of who God is, mm-hmm. we're going to keep what feels like a very safe distance from him.
Yeah.
And we just know that that's, you know, the distance that we often think keeps us safe from God is actually the thing that's putting us in more danger. Because mm-hmm. the closer we are to him, the safer we are.
Yeah.
So if you are listening to this and you can identify and you've had the experience of having an abusive father, that is our encouragement to you, is invite the Holy Spirit in, invite Jesus in, ask him to, if you're not ready to forgive now, ask him to begin just preparing you for that mm-hmm. and just helping you see kind of the road forward and what that might look like for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Number six, and this is a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. The good dad.
Yeah.
The good father. They are out there.
They exist.
Yes. Yeah. I know that was like five bummer examples, but
the heavy topic,
there are good dads out there mm-hmm. and it's possible that you are listening to this and you're like, I identify with the performance oriented father, but my dad was also great.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
And that's great. And let's celebrate the good dads out there. Mm-hmm. Let's celebrate, the dads who show up and the dads who are involved and they're present and they're safe. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that for two reasons. One, just to celebrate, like I said, the good dads.
Yeah.
I've got a great dad.
You do. Yeah.
I have a really amazing dad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he and I have talked a little bit about this, but I've just told him, like, I'm so thankful that I didn't have to work through the abusive father.
Yeah.
I didn't have to work through having an authoritarian father.
Right.
That wasn't my experience. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very grateful for that. But the other reason we want to talk about this, because sometimes dads can do such a good job. They can raise kids who are so competent, emotionally healthy, and maybe feeling like, I don't really need to like pursue God.
Yeah.
You may actually feel like, I don't really, like, I'm kind of good. Mm-hmm. You know, if things go wrong, I'll call out to him.
Sure.
But like, I'm super competent and I'm, you know, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So
I can handle this life. Yeah.
And, you know, even when things are going well, I think it's worth pursuing God as much as you can. Mm-hmm. Cultivating gratitude, cultivating trust.
Right. That's what builds relationship when you invite somebody into every part mm-hmm. of your life.
Yeah. And you and I have found that cultivating trust with him when things are good mm-hmm. have made it easier to trust him when things are not good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because a lot of times people, they'll do that. They won't really actively pursue a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. They won't actively build trust.
Right.
They won't actively kind of pour over their history with him and learn to identify like all the ways he's been good and he's been faithful in an effort to build faith and trust that he will continue to be good and faithful, mm-hmm. even in the hard times.
Yes.
A lot of times people don't do that. And what happens is all of a sudden things go wrong. Mm-hmm. Hard circumstances come up. Really hurtful, painful, sad things happen.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, you want God to be there and you want to be able to like trust him and lean on him mm-hmm. to be your comforter and your friend and your healer and your helper and your guide. But you haven't cultivated that. And so in that moment, maybe you want that, but maybe you're still seeing him as like, well, this is his fault anyways. Maybe he's punishing me. Maybe, you know.
Right. Yeah, you're kind of left not really knowing what to expect.
Yeah.
Because you've not really gotten to know him. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like going to a stranger for help.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to help me?
Right.
Are you not?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you like me?
Are you good?
Are we good? Yeah. are we good here?
Have I read my Bible enough to talk to you about this?
Yeah.
Or should I go pray for an hour and then come back and you'll be happy with me enough to have this conversation?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's very real. Mm-hmm. But dads, on one hand, I think they did the best they could with what they had. I don't mean for that to be an excuse for any fathers who fell short, who fell way short.
Yeah.
I don't want to let them off the hook for not having done more mm-hmm. to have the greater capacity to be better.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's a statement we've thrown around is like, well, every parent just is doing the best they can with what they have.
Yeah.
But recently I've been like, that's true. But if what I have isn't enough, it's my responsibility to go get what I need.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if my own experience as a child, if I had the abusive dad, the authoritarian dad, if I grew up and I didn't heal from that, I didn't forgive my dad, and now I've become that to my kids.
Yeah.
Then yes, you know, I can kind of point who I've become back to my childhood. I can say, well, this is dad's fault.
Yeah.
Well, maybe dad helped me become who I am. But now that I'm an adult, I'm a dad. Right. It's actually my responsibility to go after the healing I need.
Yeah.
To forgive whoever I need to forgive.
Absolutely. And I think those are like just the greatest success stories too. Mm-hmm. When you can see somebody who came from something really, really hard.
Yeah.
And then turned it into something really beautiful. And how like the father is that?
Yeah.
Like what a beautiful picture of Father God himself of taking ashes and making it beautiful and taking something that is worth mourning over and turning it into something joyful. Like if you can do that as a dad, as a parent, what a beautiful picture that you're giving your kids of what God the Father does for us.
Yeah. Well, for anybody listening, I hope this was helpful. I hope this was as helpful for you as it was for us because Katie and I, and also like lots of people we know, we've been through this in multiple settings with lots of different people.
Yeah.
And it's always brought a level of like healing and freedom and forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so that is our whole motivation for doing this is that we want to, is that if there's anything that is preventing you from seeing God as who he is, he's so good. He's so kind. He's so loving.
Yeah.
He's active. He's present. He's close. He's safe. If there's anything preventing you from seeing him that way and believing that about him, we want to help chisel away at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It's great.
All right. Well, if you are listening to this on any podcast platform, and if you found any value in our content, would you do us a huge favor? If you could leave us a good review, that is a very small thing that you could do that helps us in a very big way. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you could like this video and subscribe, that's again, a very small thing that you can do that helps us in a very big way. But I think that's going to be it for this episode.
Sounds good.
All right. Once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.